The Guardian.
I'm James Randerson, and this is Science Extra from The Guardian. Mohan Munasinghe is Vice President of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. He delivered the Clare College Distinguished Lecture in Economics and Public Policy in Cambridge on Wednesday. He offered a stark warning of the consequences of failing to act on climate change. Here's an abridged version of what he had to say.
What we fear is that unrestrained market forces will increase the risk of conflict, and particularly without the ethical and moral underpinnings. So climate change is or could be the additional factor which will exacerbate the existing problems of poverty, environmental degradation, social polarization, and terrorism. And it could lead to a very chaotic situation. Fortress world is a situation where the rich live in enclaves protected and the poor live outside in unsustainable conditions. If you see what is going on in some of the so-called some of the gated communities in some countries, you do find that rich people live in those kind of protected environments. If you see the restrictions on international travel, you see the beginnings of the fortress world syndrome even in entering and leaving countries. So this is not a tendency that we would like to encourage, because that would be probably lead to complete a disaster, in my view. One of the most distressing aspects is that developing countries are the most vulnerable to climate change, and the poorest people will be the hardest hit. This is, in fact, rather unfair, because they had least to do with the problem, but apparently they will pay the biggest costs. Sea level rise will be particularly devastating. For example, if you look at Bangladesh, which is already wrecked by storms frequently, they could lose up to 17% of their land area, which is the most densely populated area in that country. And extreme weather events will become very much worse. Dry areas will get drier, so that's bad news for the Sahel. But also wet areas will become wetter, which means more floods and storms. And overall, we will have a range of impacts on health, on agriculture, on forests, water resources, coastal areas, species, and natural habitats, mainly adverse. There are a few beneficial impacts, mainly to the northern latitudes, Canada, some parts of Russia, and so on. But they are greatly outweighed by the overall negative impacts worldwide. You need to turn around the curve of emissions the latest by 2015. That is just a mere 6 or 7 years from now. And that's very short in the time's horizon of global decision making. This is why we feel that if the EU danger limit is to be followed, then we have to act very quickly. Of course, it is possible to wait until later, but that could lead to a high-risk situation. The costs of these actions are not as much as one would believe. Now, if you look at the top line here, if we want to keep to the 450 or so level, it means that by the year 2050, it means that we would have to give up something like 0.1% of GDP growth every year, just 0.1% every year for the next 40 years. Is that acceptable or not to avoid the risk of climate change? This is the question. There are also other co-benefits of mitigation, that other kinds of air pollution, local air pollution, will drop substantially and so on. So it is not only climate that is going to be affected. And known technological options can help us reach this target in the next 100 years. That is our belief. Mainly in the areas of energy, conservation, energy, fuel switching, and so on, and land use, particularly reduction of deforestation and more afforestation and so on, to absorb the carbon from the atmosphere. Carbon price is a very significant policy variable, certainly higher fuel prices will reduce demand, but let us keep in mind this is also a rather regressive effect in the sense that the rich will always be able to afford high energy prices, but what happens to the basic needs of the poor? So we also always have to keep the social aspect in mind. Technology policies have to be designed to encourage new technologies, and international agreements have to be strengthened significantly. We want to stop looking at the world piecemeal. This is the high-risk world, a reactive world. We want to go to the immediate drivers, try to make development more sustainable, be more proactive. And if we are successful in that transition, we can really go, I think, to a very positive long-term future where we can address some of the underlying pressures and really look at a global civilization which can last a very long time. I tend to be optimistic because I believe that this can be done through rational processes, but I also feel that the consequences of failure are unimaginable, and that's really the bottom line.
That was Mohan Munasinghe, Vice President of the IPCC. For more of the best news and analysis in science and technology, check out the Science Weekly podcast at guardian.co.uk/audio.
The Guardian.